Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL at 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Time now for us to start talking some Cavaliers basketball, and we bring in the voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn, in order to do that. Tim's appearance is brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Make sure you're tuned in at the end of our conversation with Tim, because we are giving away some Cavaliers tickets a little bit later on. You'll have to listen for your cue to call. Tim, how are things way out west, my friend?
Well, it was a four-day stay here in Los Angeles. So, unfortunately, the basketball games didn't go the way we would like. Boy, some tough customers with the Lakers and the Clippers. But aside from that, a good time here in Los Angeles. But you know what? This has been a long road swing. Still with Memphis tomorrow night and Chicago on Saturday night. I think the guys and everybody are getting anxious to conclude this thing and get back home.
What I find interesting about what's gone down the first four games of this six-game roadie, Cavaliers, of course, won the first two, and we're not going to ignore that huge upset win over Denver back on Saturday. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But I think the effect of that win certainly spilled over to some degree on Monday against the Lakers. Tim, in games like that, I think everybody who watches the NBA knows the Cavaliers just don't have the talent or the experience that teams like the Lakers or the Clippers do. But how much do you think momentum carried over from that game on Saturday into the game on Monday against the Lakers? Again, against the team that I don't think anybody really expects the Cavaliers to be able to compete with consistently. But at least in the first half of that game, Tim, they were right there with the Lakers.
They were right there, and it's a great question. And I asked Jim Jones that same thing during our pregame on Monday. You know, momentum, and there's so many games in the NBA that does momentum carry from one game to the other. But I'll tell you what, that basketball team felt really, really good about themselves in that victory over Denver, as they should have. Pretty much led wire to wire, except for I think there was about a 10-second, 15-second point in the fourth where Denver went up by one. Aside from that, the Cavs led the entire way. And I think the momentum of that did carry into Monday night. And they were going toe-to-toe with the Lakers. And then, of course, LeBron and company just started rolling in that second half. And when you're on the other side of it, it doesn't look too good. Of course, we were on the good side of that for many years. I mean, it's just like an avalanche. You can't stop it once it gets going. And he just turned it up a notch or two. And as you said, the Cavs just didn't have the manpower to stay with that Laker team. So, but yeah, all in all, I think they felt good about the first half of the Laker game. And even though L.A. got them, meaning L.A., the Clippers, even though the Clippers got them on Tuesday night, as John Beilein said after the game, Bull, there were a lot of positives to take out of a 30-point loss. And I know that sounds strange, but I think right now the Cavalier mindset is, not that they don't want to win, of course they want to win, but there are things that they are looking at aside from wins and losses, and that's, you know, the progress and the maturity and just the growth of this team. And I think they're seeing a lot of that. And I think, as we've talked about earlier, it's hard to believe we're halfway through the year, but as you and I have had these weekly chats, this team will compete, and they competed for all 48 minutes against the Clippers.
Can we pinpoint some of those positives? I think if you watch enough, and you're clearly watching every single game, I think you can see that. For a lot of folks who don't get the opportunity to watch every game, sometimes that can be tougher to pick up. I think you can look at the box score the next day and certainly see some of those things, and I think the game against the Clippers was a great example of that. Darius Garland with his first double-double, he had 14 points, he had 10 assists, and you know, the Cavaliers seemed like they're moving the ball around a little bit better. What are some of the positives in your mind that really kind of come to the forefront, even in losses?
Well, you mentioned Garland, and that would be first and foremost. Boy, the game is really slowing down for him, Bull. He's come a long way. I know early in the year people were getting frustrated, and the Cavs and myself and other folks were saying, listen, he only played five college basketball games. He's only 19 years old. You've got to let this kid kind of learn the ropes. And he's done that. That double-double the other night was impressive. And as I mentioned to Jim, he had a huge grin on his face after the assist. And so that tells me, and it kind of shows folks, he has that point guard mentality. He was happy with setting other guys up. Not that he doesn't want to score, and that kid can shoot. His three-point shooting has really come a long way. And again, he had to shake the rust off. He had only played five games last year. So certainly Darius Garland was a real bright spot the other night. And there were other bright spots as well. You know, Tristan, he just ran out of gas. So, you know, and then obviously Kevin Love sat out the ball game. But Jetty Osman, another bright spot. I mean, he had 9 3 balls in L.A. over the two games. So 4 against the Lakers, 5 against the Clippers. And again, he kind of ties in with Garland, because with Garland running the point, he's able to find Jetty, where Jetty can be a spot-up shooter. And when Jetty can spot up, he can knock it down. He's not necessarily a slasher and that type of scorer. He's got to spot up. And when he's allowed to do that, set his feet and shoot, he can knock them down, as he showed in the two games here in Los Angeles. And then even though the bench didn't score a lot, I thought there were some bright spots off the bench. You know, John Henson came back, saw some action. That length that he showed in the middle once again was on display Tuesday night. So, yeah, there were some things that absolutely John Beilein and the staff walked out of that arena saying, yeah, we got smoked in the scoreboard, but there were some positives there.
And there have been a lot of positives surrounding Tristan Thompson this season.
Oh.
Contract year for him for sure, but look, I mean, he's been doing this for a while. We've talked a lot about his leadership in our previous conversations, but before we spoke last week, I think the idea was Tristan was certainly one of those guys the Cavaliers were going to continue to lean on, and boy, did they ever in that victory a week ago today over the Pistons, a career high, 35 points. And, Tim, what I thought was really fascinating about that game, not just the fact that he dumped in a career high, but he really made Andre Drummond work that entire game. And look, that's not exactly a favorable matchup on paper for the Cavaliers, but Tristan Thompson's giving up at least a couple of inches, but boy, does he hustle. And you could certainly state the case that this has been the best year of his career.
I would absolutely agree with that. He has been a double-double machine. Again, I think he was just gassed on Tuesday night. As you said, he had gone up against Drummond, against Jokic. Then he took on LeBron on Monday night on the defensive end of the floor. And then to have to go back-to-back, I think he was just like, oof, there's not a lot left in the tank. But, man, his work ethic and his ability to just compete every single solitary night has been exemplary. He has been outstanding. And as you point out, Bull, that's leadership. I mean, you know, when you've got a team full of young guys, impressionable young guys, Tristan Thompson is showing them this is how you play and this is how you compete at the NBA level. And going back to the Detroit game, as you said, the 35 points, absolutely. I mean, a career high. But he made Drummond work, and he just bodied up and muscled up. He didn't back down. And it was just a tremendous performance by Tristan last Thursday.
Again, we're being joined by Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Tim's appearance is brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We're giving away a couple of Cavs tickets. To find out how to win those, you'll have to make sure you're tuned in at the end of our conversation. All right, Tim, well, obviously, no Kevin Porter Jr. It's been about 2 weeks now, and initially the reports came out that it was good news that they didn't find any structural damage, any tears, anything like that on the MRI, but he'd have to be reevaluated in a couple of weeks. And then some news came out stating that he might miss a little bit more time. Any idea where we're at with Kevin Porter Jr. and when he might return?
No. I mean, I wish I could tell you more. I guess I'll find out when you do. Listen, they're not going to take any chances at all here. Kevin Porter has really displayed some incredible potential with this basketball team. So nothing's going to get rushed. Nothing's going to get pushed just to get him back on the floor. They're going to make sure he is 100% ready to go. So I don't have any update for you, Bull. If I did, I'd let you and the WBOL listeners know. But they'll take it very cautiously. And when he's ready to return, they'll get him back on the floor, but not until he is 100% ready to go.
His absence, I think, adds more fuel to the fire for the win earlier this weekend against Denver, and of course 2 days before that against Detroit. But what do you think the Cavaliers miss in his absence? I think certainly you look at that bench bunch with him out of the equation, you lose a little bit of something there. But what exactly do you think the Cavs miss without him on the bench?
Oh, I would say his athleticism and his passing. It's not just that he can get to the rim and score and, you know, bring those oohs and ahs with some dunks and so forth. He can pass the basketball. Jim has talked about that during the broadcast, that, you know, up there with Garland, he might be one of the better passers on the team. And so he brings that off the bench, aside from his scoring ability. So, and again, his energy off the bench. I mean, when he comes in, you can kind of feel, you know, where everybody just kind of raises up a little bit. He brings that kind of, you know, dynamic effect to the floor. So he can be very special. Again, he's raw. We've talked about that during the year. But, man, you watch this young kid develop like Garland, only 19 years old. I mean, think about, you know, Jim Jones calls him the tripod. Colin Sexton just turned 21, a week or 10 days ago. You got Porter and Garland at 19 years old. There's some real nice pieces to build with.
There definitely are. The tripod, certainly one of my favorite phrases throughout the course of the year. I love that from Jim Jones. And there's a lot to like there, too. I mean, look, if this franchise is going to get where they would like to go, the tripod is a key piece to that puzzle. There's no question about that. And it's hard not to like what we have seen from those three so far. You know, Tim, taking a look at what the Cavaliers have left on this six-game road trip. They've got the Memphis Grizzlies tomorrow night. Then, of course, they wrap up in the Windy City on Saturday against the Chicago Bulls. You look at those matchups on paper. Those are two teams that do not have winning records. The Grizzlies, though, right in the mix of a playoff spot in the West. So these next two games are going to be challenging for the Cavaliers, but these also look like very winnable contests as well.
Well, don't let that Grizzlies record fool you. I want to say their winning streak is six. They've won six in a row and eight of their last nine. They're on an extended homestand right now. I think it's a seven-game homestand for the Grizzlies. It'll conclude on Monday. So they've turned some things around. In fact, before the ball game tomorrow night, Morant will be awarded the December Rookie of the Month award. So, you know, he's turned it up a notch. They're a pretty good basketball team. And like I said, they've figured it out. So, Friday is going to be a tough one. And then, of course, Saturday, that last game of a long road trip, that's always tough because, you know, everybody wants to get home and you've been on the road. I think we were sitting around the other day and did some air calculations. We're thinking it's about 5,000-6,000 miles that we've covered here in the last 9 days, or we will by the time the trip is over. So, you know, Saturday, you've just got to be mentally tough and mentally strong. You know, we talked about Tristan and his leadership. I mean, he'll probably display that on Saturday night, that, listen, it's the last game of a six-game trip. It's a back-to-back, but we've just got to come out and compete. But, hey, you know what? They've gone 2-2 through the first four. Who knows what tomorrow and Saturday will hold, but I think this team has held its own, per se, on this trip.
They definitely have. Look, I mean, that's a nice upset win over Denver. They were able to salvage a victory over the Detroit Pistons 2 days after the Pistons took it to them at home. So it has been a successful road trip for the Cavaliers to this point. There's no question about that. And they have an opportunity to do some more damage over the next couple of days as well. Tim, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the last leg of this road trip. And we look forward to seeing you back here on Monday.
All righty, Bull. Sounds good. By the way, as I said when I got the Cavs job, I will always keep an eye on Lorain County sports and high school stuff. Congratulations, Elyria, going into the Southwestern Conference. I think that's awesome for Elyria High School and for the SWC and for local fans. Elyria and Midview, Elyria Ridgeville, Avon Amherst, I think it's tremendous. So congratulations to the Pioneers.
We're excited about that here at the station as well, as you might imagine. That'll make for some really cool matchups in about a year and a half when they join the SWC. All right, let's open up those phone lines, 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we are giving away a pair of Cavalier tickets. To which game? You're going to have to call and find out. All right, let's step aside and break. We'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.